This is Cicely Tyson. The town of Hanover, New Hampshire, is located in a handsome setting of wooded hills on the Connecticut River. It is the home of Dartmouth College, and college affairs take up much of the town's attention. The place was settled in 1765. Outside Hanover, far from the bustle of the campus, there are a number of ancient homesteads that date from the early 1800s. Their fieldstone and clapboard walls are as sturdy as the pioneers who built them. Those early New Englanders seem to have had an inborn love of craftsmanship. In a way, that feeling persists today, because in New England, the ultimate praise for almost anything is, it's made to last. On a warm July evening in the staid old Elm Tree Inn facing the campus, Elizabeth Brent stops at the front desk.
Hello, I wonder if you have a map of Hanover.
Well, I can give you a map of the college, but...
No, I'm going to drive to the Evans house tomorrow. I know it's south of town, but I can't remember the route.
It's between State Route 12A and the river.
Oh, thank you.
Since the house is advertised for sale, I suppose you're planning to buy it.
Yes, I am.
I'm Lloyd Evans.
Evans? As in the Evans house?
Yes.
Well, I know you're not Professor Evans. He died years ago.
No, he was my father. I inherited the place from him.
Oh, I see it. And now you're selling it.
No, I had to sell it soon after he left it to me. Now I want to buy it back again.
That seems to make us competitors, doesn't it?
Yes. And may I know the name of the lady I'm competing with?
I'm Elizabeth Brent.
Well, Elizabeth Brent, I warn you in advance, I can be pretty cold and hard-hearted in business deals of this kind.
So can I, Mr. Evans. So can I.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Moonwalk, by Robert Ellis. Our stars, Arthur Hill and Peggy Hazard.
July is a fairly quiet time in Hanover, as in most college towns. There are always summer term students around, but during the hot weather, the campus seems to settle, as if it were resting up for the main onslaught in September. In the lobby of the Elm Tree Inn, Lloyd Evans and Elizabeth Brent have discovered that they are both determined to buy the same house.
There's no real reason for us to be enemies, is there?
Enemies? No, certainly not.
Well, then, have you had dinner?
No, I haven't, but...
But your husband's waiting for you.
My husband's dead.
That was very clumsy of me. I'm awfully sorry.
No reason to be. I've discovered that widows are not a special class of people after all. Pregnant women are, of course, but the rest of us, well...
If you aren't busy, please have dinner with me.
I'm not busy. Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Why not call me Lloyd?
All right, if you call me Elizabeth.
Fine. The dining room here is very good, or at least it always has been.
Besides, it's a tradition to have dinner at the inn at least once whenever you're in town.
Ah, you know the traditions already.
My husband went to Dartmouth, and I've been here many times on visits with him. Are you an alumnus?
Oh, yes. Always happy to come back again.
And you aren't going to sing a college song or something, are you?
No. Did I sound sloppy and sentimental? I've got to remember to preserve the cold, hard, business-like attitude I promised you.
As hard as the granite of New Hampshire.
Good evening. A table for two?
Yes, please.
Right this way.
Musical wallpaper. What a pity.
Will this be all right?
Yes, very nice.
Good. Enjoy your dinner.
We're both dying to talk about the house, aren't we?
I wonder if the roast turkey is sliced off a loaf or actually carved from a whole bird.
Well, here it's carved, I'm sure. Well,
good evening. Would you like something from the bar?
Elizabeth?
Not for me, thanks.
Perhaps you'll have some wine later.
Okay. I'll come back for your dinner orders in a few minutes.
I've got at least 1,000 questions.
About the turkey?
Don't be cute now. What are you going to have?
Prime rib. Why do you want to buy the house?
Oh, the agent made it sound absolutely charming. Besides, my husband was always talking about it.
He was?
Yes. He took several courses with your father. And from what he told me, the students spent more time in Professor Evans' home than in his classroom.
Well, you're right there. I was brought up on bull sessions.
They're called rap sessions now.
I know, but the new name is no real improvement. I'm very anxious to get the house back.
But why did you ever sell it?
Oh, something came up and I needed a lot of cash.
Have you decided yet?
I'm afraid the lady decided when she talked to the agent.
Sir?
It's a private joke. I'd like the roast turkey dinner, please. Soup and oil and vinegar on the salad.
Okay. And yours, sir?
Prime rib, medium rare. The soup also, and Russian dressing. Would you like some wine, Elizabeth?
No, thank you. I want to keep my wits about me.
Well, actually, we both should. I guess that's all for now.
Thank you, sir.
It just seems a little strange that you'd sell the house and then want to buy it back again.
Well, it's not so strange. I had to sell it because at that time, 15 years ago, it was the only real asset I had. And I want to buy it back because I like the place. Always have.
Had it been in your family a long time?
4 generations.
Oh, dear. I feel like some kind of monster.
And with good reason, Elizabeth.
Well, that's really not fair, Lloyd, even as a joke.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
If you were so unfeeling 15 years ago that you could sell the house, then you have no right to throw sentiment in my face now.
No, I wasn't unfeeling. As a matter of fact, I felt very bad about it.
But still, you sold it.
Elizabeth, a situation came up that overrode sentiment. Besides, my feelings for the house were a great deal stronger than just sentiment.
Goodness, you really are trying to make me feel guilty.
No, I'm not.
I honestly resent your tactics.
Tactics? What tactics?
Men are always saying that women are too emotional. But they're not above using emotion as a weapon whenever they think it will further their plans.
A weapon? Now, really, Elizabeth, I think...
My husband did that constantly. It was infuriating.
Come to think of it, how do I know the reverse isn't true?
The reverse of what?
Of this emotion as a weapon routine. How do I know you aren't exposing all kinds of hurt feelings just to make me feel guilty? To make me out the monster?
Well, of all the... Oh!
Your soup, ma'am?
Ah, it looks delicious.
And the salad. Now, would you like a hot popover?
Yes, thank you. They are hot, aren't they?
And you, sir?
Yes, thanks.
Just let me know when you want some more.
Thank you. May I have the butter, please?
Oh, yes, here. Lloyd, I'm sorry.
So am I. Go ahead. Eat your popover.
The name popover makes them sound so frivolous, when actually they're the staff of life.
But they don't deserve a solemn name either.
Do you plan to live in the house?
Not year-round, no. My business is in New York.
What about your family?
I'm divorced. Kids are grown up. So, well, I come up here as often as I can.
Your father must have been a marvelous man.
Yes, he was. A campus character. He used to stride through Sandburn, the English building, with his cape billowing out behind him, brandishing his cane and terrifying the freshmen with scowls and insults.
And all his students loved him.
Yes, once they got used to him. I think he fancied himself another Monty Woolley. And behind all the bluster and the nonsense of this role he played, he was the nicest man on earth.
He became quite well known, didn't he?
In academic circles, yes. He published several books on obscure English authors, and his outline of Victorian literature was practically a textbook. Even I used it.
My husband said he gave poetry readings.
He gave readings of everything.
Oh, it must be wonderful to be so dedicated to your profession. I'm surprised you didn't follow in his footsteps.
Me? Oh, no. Dad was terribly disappointed when he learned I wasn't interested in an academic career, but I knew I'd make a lousy teacher.
Actually, that's a little sad, isn't it? When your father's work was his whole life.
He never understood how his son could even want to go into any other field.
I suppose most of us disappoint our parents one way or another. Although they probably bring it on themselves by expecting too much.
Thanks for saying that. Even so, I don't think he ever forgave me.
But surely you had some successes to show him once you'd gone into your own work.
Oh, yes, there were a few things, but I don't think they made much of an impression on him.
You're making your father sound a little narrow-minded, you know.
Well, I guess he was, in a way. At least on the subject of my career.
These things all happened a long time ago. Isn't it possible you're exaggerating the negative side of them, at least a little?
Oh, maybe I am. But I thank God he never knew I had to sell his house. He loved the place. At least I didn't hurt him that much.
Would you mind hearing the opinion of an outsider?
Fire away.
It sounds as if you've been brooding for years on this one point. My father was unhappy because I didn't become a teacher. You've played that idea over and over in your mind to the exclusion of all the pleasant memories.
Well, that's possible, I suppose.
And as far as the house is concerned, well, this is going to sound peculiar coming from someone who also wants to buy it.
Go ahead.
The house has nothing to do with the way your father felt about you. He never knew you sold it. And he'll never know if you buy it back, either. It's really wrong for you to make a connection between the house and your conviction that you disappointed your father.
Elizabeth, I appreciate your penetrating analysis, but it's not that simple. You left out my real reason for buying the house. I think I owe it to his memory to bring it back into the family again.
This is the cold, hard-hearted businessman talking, the Granite of New Hampshire?
No. It's a man who made a mistake 15 years ago and who's anxious to correct it now.
The sun has set, leaving only an orange glow in the sky behind the elm trees that line the Dartmouth campus. With dinner over, Lloyd and Elizabeth have found chairs on the broad porch of the inn, hoping a cooler breeze might start up as the darkness comes on. They are sheltered from the sound of traffic on Main Street, and the rest of the world seems far away.
Oh, this is wonderful, sitting around with nothing to do but talk to you. I'm not used to inactivity.
Did you have plans for the evening?
Oh, I've got a whole briefcase full of work in my room upstairs, but it seems a lot less urgent now than it did this afternoon. Oh, stretching is good for the soul.
My husband used to say that he could
always... Hey, look there. The moon's just coming up over the trees. It's full.
I wonder if young people still find the moon romantic.
Probably. They're missing a lot if they don't.
Yes.
Where were you on the 20th of July, 1969?
Good heavens, I have no idea. Why do you ask?
That's the date of the first moon landing.
Oh.
Apollo 11. We actually walked on the moon. You know, the anniversary went by a week or so ago, and I never heard a word about it on TV.
I didn't either. And I didn't even recognize the date when you mentioned it.
We forget our new heroes awfully fast, don't we?
One would think we had lots of them.
I was driving when they landed on the moon. I was on the Jersey Turnpike listening to the car radio.
My husband and I watched it on TV with a few friends.
You've mentioned your husband several times this evening, but you've never called him by name.
Haven't I? His name was Harvey.
Really? Not Senator Harvey Brent?
Yes.
But he died only a few weeks ago. Oh, Elizabeth, I didn't realize you'd lost your husband so recently.
Don't forget now. Widows are not a special class of people.
Perhaps not, but I...
You're sorry you were such a beast at dinner.
A beast? Was I that bad?
No, of course not. I was just teasing.
But surely I've seen pictures of you with the senator.
Probably. I was often with him in public, generally in the background somewhere.
He was a remarkable man.
Yes, he was.
Did you like political life?
No. Not very much. I don't enjoy attracting attention to myself, and politics is all a matter of attention. Harvey loved the spotlight, and he was very good with audiences.
He was certainly a distinguished-looking man. I remember he had a nice smile.
Everybody remembers Harvey's smile. I used to accuse him of imitating Teddy Roosevelt.
Did he say bully a lot?
Only when the TV cameras were aimed at him.
Do you have any children?
No.
I've got two. A daughter who's settled down with a home and a husband in Boston, and a son who has a very good, safe job with an insurance company in Chicago. I'm afraid we're a pretty dull crew.
It doesn't sound dull to me. I discovered quite early in our marriage that children weren't part of Harvey's plans. We had too many meetings to go to, or campaigns to run, or constituents to greet, or other people's babies to kiss.
That sounds a trifle bitter, Elizabeth.
Oh, dear. I hope not. I don't want to turn into a bitter old woman.
Well, I imagine you're still upset about everything.
I suppose I am. Harvey was 56 when he died. 56. These days, that's not very old.
No, not at all.
He used to say that a man's reputation was the only important thing in public life.
Well, it's important in everything, don't you think?
Yes, of course. But he meant something more than that. He meant that nothing matters except your reputation. You can be the worst person in the world, and you can get away with anything you want to, once you've gotten people to think well of you.
I'm trying to decide how you feel about that.
During dinner, when we were talking about the house, I said...
Aha! We're back to the house again.
Inevitably.
And what about the house?
Well, I implied that I wanted to buy it to live in.
Don't you?
No.
Well, what are you going to do with it, if you get it?
I wish I could guess how you're going to react to this.
Oh, don't tell me you're planning to tear it down and put up a condominium.
No, of course not.
Plenty of room for that, you know. 12 acres.
Yes, I know. All that land is one of the things that makes it ideal.
I guess I should ask, ideal for what?
For a study center.
A what?
A study center for the college, the political science department.
Well, I'm sure the political science people have enough room to study in already.
I think it's a fine idea. It would put the place to practical use. I was reluctant to tell you about it because I thought it might look as if I were taking unfair advantage, pushing a worthwhile project.
Well, I'll probably make a gift to the college sometime myself, but certainly not the house. Whatever gave you the idea?
It was Harvey's idea, not mine. Let me tell you the story from the beginning.
Well, I'm not sure I care to hear it.
I listen to all your sentimental reasons for wanting the house. The least you can do is listen to my practical ones.
It looks like the lines are drawn, doesn't it? Sentiment versus practicality.
May I tell you about it?
All right.
But during his, well, as it turned out, his last visit to Hanover, Harvey heard the house was about to be put on the market again. He'd always liked it ever since he was an undergraduate. And he'd always planned to make a gift of some kind to the college.
So Professor Evans' house seemed like the perfect gift.
Yes. The Senator Harvey Brent Center for Political Science Studies.
Well, the name's too long.
How about Brent Center?
How about just the Evans house?
Oh, Lloyd, you're upset, aren't you?
A little. Is all this in his will?
No, I'm taking care of it on my own. He talked about it so much during the last weeks, and I know it's what he would have wanted.
And the price is no problem?
No.
Well, we really are in opposite corners, aren't we?
It sort of looks that way.
It's not what I expected.
No. But we can still be friends, don't you think?
We can try to be. But one of us is going to lose the house, Elizabeth. Assuming we both don't lose it to a third party.
Yes, I know.
And it's really too bad. I've enjoyed this evening.
So have I, very much.
Why don't we... Oh, damn. Why don't we look at the house together tomorrow morning?
Lloyd, I'd love to.
If this is going to be a slugfest, we might as well battle it right down to the bell.
The following morning, fortified with a huge New Hampshire breakfast, Lloyd and Elizabeth are ready to leave the lobby of the inn. They're both a little apprehensive about visiting the Evans house together, but neither one wants to cancel the trip.
Shall we go?
I guess so. My car's in the hotel garage.
Did you drive up here?
No, I flew. The car's a rental. Oh, by the way, I picked up the key to the house yesterday from the agent. Did you...
Oh, Mr. Evans?
Yes?
A long-distance call for you.
Is there? Okay.
You can take it on the house phone over there.
Oh, thank you. I'll only be a minute, Elizabeth.
Why don't I send for the car in the meantime?
All right. Here's the stub.
I'll be out front.
Fine. Hello? Yes? Hello? Michael? What's up?
He did what?
Oh, Michael, no. Have you called the police? Good. Well, I don't know what else we can do. Nothing till Monday, certainly. No. I wouldn't be able to do any more there than you're doing already. I'll fly back Sunday night. No, I'm sure everything will be all right. Yeah. Bye.
Wow.
Over here, Lloyd.
Oh. Did I look lost?
A little, yes.
For a moment, I forgot what the car looked like. Would you mind driving?
No, of course not. Are you all right?
Oh, sure. Perhaps I ate a little too much for breakfast.
And we're off.
I honestly don't know why I'm doing this, but I guess we are. Well, here we are. Wonder why they painted the front door green.
The house seems to be very well kept up.
I liked it white. There's supposed to be a caretaker around here somewhere, but... Oh, should we go inside?
Of course. You sound reluctant.
Yeah, the hinges need oil.
Oh, what a lovely big hallway. And look at that staircase. Well,
the place is empty.
What did you expect?
Well, I've never seen it without furniture before. I had movers take care of it when I... Why, it's weird. Everything's gone.
Did you really think you were going to step back into your youth?
No, but it would have been nice.
Lloyd, you've been awfully quiet ever since we left the inn. Perhaps we shouldn't have come.
Oh, it's all right. Honestly.
Was this the dining room?
No. That was Dad's study.
Oh, yes. I see all the bookshelves at the back end.
Let's look in the living room.
All right. I love the fireplace. And that paneling.
The flooring is solid oak all through the house. Needs refinishing, too, I see.
You're being hypercritical.
Well, why not?
So far, everything looks just perfect to me.
It's odd, but the room seems smaller than I remember. In fact, the whole house does.
But it's very large.
I have such vivid pictures of it in my mind, the way it used to be. There were two couches right here on either side of a coffee table in front of the fireplace.
It sounds very nice.
I remember once when I was 8 or 10 or so, I was doing a jigsaw puzzle here. My mother called us to dinner. Dad came in from his study, and when he saw I was still working on the puzzle, he sort of playfully grabbed me by the wrists, stretched my arms up over my head, and carried me all the way into the dinner table. That's a strange thing to remember just now.
You're lucky to have grown up in a home like this.
It is a wonderful house. There are 4 more fireplaces, by the way, and the agent told me the wiring has all been... I wonder why I'm bragging about a house that isn't mine. And why am I giving you a sales pitch when I don't want you to buy it? I wish... Damn it, Elizabeth, I can't buy the house after all.
What are you saying?
I can't buy the house. I can't compete with you anymore.
But why not? What happened?
Well, the money I'd set aside toward the house has got to be used for something else.
Oh, Lloyd.
It's pretty much the story of my life, I'm afraid.
Your phone call was bad news, wasn't it?
Yes, it was my accountant. Someone we're associated with skipped out with a great deal of money. I'll have trouble covering the shortage. So... No house.
I don't know what to say.
Sometimes I really envy my son. Every 2 weeks, without fail, a computer cranks out his paycheck reliably, predictably. He knows exactly how much he's going to get. It's always the same amount every other Friday. What a nice, safe, calm, comfortable way to live. Oh, I haven't told you what I do for my so-called living, have I?
No.
I invest in small businesses.
You mean as a sort of speculation?
Yes, but not in the stock market sense. I look for people who... I hope my father's ghost isn't hanging around these rooms somewhere.
Lloyd, stop.
I provide money to develop new ideas and inventions and for business expansion. Banks do the same thing, but I can bring in computer services and systems consultation, too. And, well, there's a lot more to it.
It sounds very exciting to be able to watch things grow and improve because you saw promise in them and were able to help.
That's a very sweet description of it. And you're right. It is exciting to back up your judgment with high stakes, like a gambler. But I hope with a worthwhile purpose. However, there are flush times and lean times, and the profits are erratic.
That must make things difficult.
Yes. My wife couldn't stand the strain.
I imagine there are very few people who are able to live with the work as you do and do it well.
And thousands asking for money to develop their ideas. Everybody wants to eat steak, but nobody wants to work in the slaughterhouse.
Now it's you who sound bitter.
Exactly. I'm thinking about the guy who took the money and ran. I saw him as an honest man with a good idea. Oh, well, I can't go on burdening you with my problems.
I'm only sorry you have them.
You're a very nice lady, Elizabeth. I'm glad we met.
Thank you. I'm glad, too.
It's just too bad it happened right now under these circumstances.
Yes. It's funny, but I never dreamed there'd be the least difficulty in buying the house.
Well, there isn't any difficulty. For you.
Oh, Lloyd, you know there is.
No, there isn't. Just buy it.
That's the gentlemanly thing to say, and it's kind of you, but...
All the sentimental opposition is gone. You and your practical reasons have won.
That's not exactly true. If I step in and buy the house now, at a time when you can't, it would be just like a slap in your face.
Nonsense is a simple business transaction.
It's not simple. Oh, Lloyd, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to spoil a nice friendship.
You wouldn't. Besides, you can't afford to be soft-hearted, Elizabeth.
I know. Where's the granite of New Hampshire when I need it most?
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of Moonwalk.
Let's not look at any more of the house, Lloyd.
Well, there's no reason to stop as far as I'm concerned. I can probably give you a better tour than anyone else.
I don't doubt it, but...
What are you two doing in here?
Looking at the house. Are you the custodian?
Darn right I am. How'd you get in?
I got a key from Mr. Whittaker in town.
Oh, you did, huh?
Have we done something wrong?
Well, now I'm supposed to show people through the house when they want to see it. And Whittaker never told me you were coming.
Well, I'm sorry.
We were just leaving anyway.
Hmm. And maybe you better give me the key.
Well, it's Mr. Whittaker's key. I told him I'd give it back to him.
Well, all right. But I got to stay here and see that you close the door.
Sure. There. It's closed.
We'd like to look around the grounds a little. Do you want to come with us?
Nope. Inside's all I care about. Now, if you want to go back in again, let me know first.
Oh, thank you, Mr.
Petty!
Yes, indeed. Petty.
I was just thinking how differently Harvey would have handled Mr. Petty.
Oh? What would he have done?
He'd have been very haughty, probably even insulting. And Mr. Petty would either slink away defeated or there'd have been a great shouting match.
Why waste the blood pressure?
When it was a question of Harvey proving he was right or showing he was better than someone else, blood pressure didn't matter. Nothing did.
I suppose politicians have to be born scrappers.
When we were first married, he used to say, "It's me against the opposition." I thought he was talking about the problems he was having as a beginner, just starting out in politics.
It must have been rough for him.
Yes, it was. But eventually, I began to realize that everybody was the opposition, all the time, forever. During his whole life, I don't believe he ever had any friends.
But he was very popular. How many terms did he have?
He was in his third.
Well, you've got to have some friends, Elizabeth, to get elected three times.
Dear Lloyd, you don't have any reason to defend him.
Well, I can't believe he needs defending.
When I spoke about his not having friends, I meant that he didn't really like anybody.
That seems unusual.
Yes. There weren't any people, or any real human beings, as far as Harvey was concerned. Everybody was another statistic, another chalk mark in his column. Each one was useful to him, at least as a vote, if nothing more. And once he had them in his column, he had to keep working every second to keep them there.
But that's the nature of politics, isn't it?
I still don't think you...
You know, last night I asked you if you liked political life, and you said no. Now, everything you're saying now...
I'm not talking about politics in general. I'm talking about Harvey Brent. He never really liked anybody. Not even his wife.
Oh, Elizabeth, I...
If you say anything sweet to me, I hate people who feel sorry for themselves.
Yeah, let's walk around.
All right.
Look, you can see the river through the trees down there.
I didn't realize we were so close.
Yeah. Sometimes when the sun sets in the right place, the reflection makes the woods look like they're on fire.
I wonder if that used to be a vegetable garden over there.
Probably was last summer. My mother used to have rows of dahlias all through this area.
Harvey never noticed flowers or sunsets on the river. There weren't any votes there. Lloyd, that man was never wrong. Literally never wrong. Not when I was there to put the blame on.
Elizabeth, I...
Poor Lloyd. I've been moping by myself these past few weeks, thinking endlessly about this feet of clay story. And you have to be the first person I tell it to.
So long as it helps, I don't mind.
But if a man's name is to be on your family home, you're entitled to know what kind of man he was.
You're going ahead with the purchase?
Yes. I'm afraid I have to.
Why?
Because Harvey was forever telling me that I'd failed him. I let him down. I just can't fail him on this.
Come around the corner of the house here. There's something out back I think you'll like. There.
It's a well.
Actually, I was afraid they might have filled it in.
I suppose you're going to tell me it's a wishing well and all our problems will be solved.
Well, I would tell you that if I thought it would help.
It won't.
Now, look over the edge here. There's a Chinese coin down there in the bottom somewhere.
A Chinese coin?
Yes. It's about an inch in diameter, and it's got a square hole in the center. I dropped it in the well myself.
Why?
Well, who knows why a kid does things like that. Maybe I thought it would fall all the way back to China.
It's a cute story, Lloyd. But I'm wondering why you told it to me.
Because I wanted one more pleasant memory before I get mad.
Mad? At me?
Yes.
For buying the house?
For buying the house and naming it the Senator Harvey Brent Center for whatever it was.
Oh, really, now, this is a little...
Do you know what you've been doing the last few minutes?
You mean talking about Harvey?
Yes.
Well, I suppose I was a little self-indulgent, but I don't
think... Is the picture you painted of Harvey accurate?
Yes, I think so, so far as I went.
You've given me a portrait of a despicable man.
That's a very strong adjective.
Is it an accurate one?
I wonder if I haven't told you more than I should.
Now, don't be evasive. Why are women reluctant to call a spade a spade?
Now, just a minute. You sound like one of your father's Victorian novelists.
You've told me a dozen things about Harvey Brent that make him out to be an absolutely rotten person. But you're too timid to use the word rotten.
Lloyd,
you were very quick to give me your incisive opinion of my feelings about the house, remember? I was buying it back to make up for all the disappointments I'd caused my father, wasn't that it?
More or less.
Well, now you can listen to what I've got to say about your reasons for buying it. Exactly how are your motives any nobler than mine?
I never claimed they were noble.
I don't believe for a second that you really care about making a gift to the college. Have you even asked if they want or need a study center in political science?
Well, no.
I've got to admit that the name Brent Center has a nice ring to it. But look at Harvey Brent, objectively. As a senator, I'd say your husband was no better than a modest success, wouldn't you? And as a man, do you honestly think he deserves a memorial like this? I don't. And you're a hypocrite if you give him one.
Lloyd, that's not fair.
But the real... fundamental reason why you want the house is to prove to a dead man that you're not the failure he said you were, and that's disgusting.
Lloyd!
Elizabeth, You're a lovely person. And I'm fond of you. But this is wrong. You want to use the house to commemorate a man who isn't worthy of it, and a marriage that must have been a nightmare.
I don't think that I can...
And I'm not going to let you do it.
You aren't?
I'm going to fight you for the house. I won't let you do something so shameful. I'm going to fight you, and I'm going to win.
But, Lloyd, your money
is... Don't worry. I'll manage it, somehow or other.
After the way you've acted, I don't know why I care what you do.
Do you care?
Yes.
Speaking of granite?
Are we all through shouting at each other?
I hope so.
I've got a business-like proposal to make. Will you listen?
Yes.
Lloyd, if you had said no, I'd have gone away and left you right here. Now listen to this. Lloyd, there's a great deal of truth in what you said. Shouted, actually. Harvey doesn't deserve to have the place named after him.
Elizabeth, this is...
Please, let me go on. I think I was right in what I said about your using the house to make up for having disappointed your father.
Well, our reasons for wanting the house could be pretty similar, couldn't they? I guess we're both trying to prove something.
Yes. Your father and my husband expected us to be people we couldn't be. It wouldn't have been any more impossible for us if they had decided we had to become astronauts and walk on the moon. We couldn't do it.
I guess you're right. But there's still the house.
Lloyd, it's simply stupid for you to take on an enormous financial burden right now. That's obvious, isn't it?
Yes.
So, I'll give up the house if you will.
You're going to forget about the college?
No, you didn't let me finish. Why don't we set up a scholarship instead? You said you thought of making a gift. Well, when it's comfortable for you, I'll match whatever funds we agree on. We can talk about the details later.
But giving up the house is easier for you to do than for me. It was my home for all those years.
And you'll always have very nice memories of it. Lloyd, you're never going to recapture the happy times you had with your father. And you can't change the past. Forgive me, but except for your memories, the past is as lost as your Chinese coin here in the well.
Oh, I don't know whether I like your proposal or not.
Where's the house key?
Hmm? In my pocket.
May I see it?
Sure. Here.
Thank you. And hey! There it goes.
You threw it in the well.
Yes. And I'd be happy to spend as much time as I have to convince you that all this is a splendid idea.
Well, it won't be easy for me. I'll need some help explaining to Mr. Whittaker what happened to his key.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Moonwalk, was written by Robert Ellis and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Arthur Hill and Peggy Hazard. Featured in the cast were Marilyn Lightstone and Jack Carroll. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Leonard Nimoy. It's another tale of adventure tomorrow at this same time. Join me, won't you? And let us try to take your breath away.